Well, thanks for coming in, Robert. I appreciate it. You're welcome. I wonder if we could start by just talking a little bit about what first attracted you to radio in general.
I think when I was like 3-4 years old in the tub, I would just...
I read about that.
I would just talk to myself with my hand cupped into a microphone. My family had no reporters in it. I was not a particularly newsy type kid. But for some reason, in some instinctive way, I was on the air before there was air or even hardly me. It was like a real early start.
How do you go about finding a voice for each of your pieces?
Well, I think it depends on what you're talking about. And then you have to kind of be true to that. So if you're talking about something that makes you puzzled, then I just report it in a puzzled voice. If I'm reporting something that makes me excited, then I'll get excited. And if it's mysterious, I'll get mysterious. So it's some, I allow the thing before me to create a mood. And then I just, it's like a confession, really. I mean, to some degree, I suppose it's put on in some way, but not much.
Well, I think that really resonates with listeners, though, because people can relate to how you're feeling about a given...
Yeah, and also I think it also plays with the idea that reporters are usually people who try to be in the know. So they put on that voice with the, you know, like, I know what I'm talking about. I'm on the radio. I don't do that. So my message might be, I don't know what we're talking about and I'm learning it. It's almost like a political sense called, like, you don't have to know everything.
Yep.
Maybe it's just enough to wonder about things.
Let's talk about the show, Radiolab. Why do you think it resonates with so many people, including a lot of young people? Do you think it's the pace? What do you think it is?
Partly, I think it's a couple of things. I think it's done with two people who are actually in real life friends. And from the very beginning, we just treated it as a kind of campfire conversation where we were just trying to figure out something. I'm 25 years older than the other guy. That's like a weird thing. Two guys, different age. I'm 1 year older than this than Jed's father. Mm-hmm. So it's just an odd kind of friendship. And it's odder still that we're discussing biology, physics, and things like that, which neither of us know very much about, although he grew up in a science family and I grew up with a kind of delight in it. But we don't have a knowledge base. All we have is our noses and our heads and our mutual curiosity. So I think partly maybe the success is that people are hearing two guys having a good time, and it's odd enough that people want to just see, how is this going to come out? And I think the other part of it is the thing you mentioned, which is the beats. So Jad is a composer. He's not a journalist. I mean, he's become a very good one. But when we began, he brought mostly compositional skills. And what that meant, which I'd never done before, is we'd be talking about something like, you know, Jack and Jill would go up a hill to fetch a pail of water. Jack was going to have a little collision and break his head. That was your storyline. He would then find things to put under that narrative that were for some reason really interesting, but not interesting for themselves. That it was music that helped you hear the words better. It was sort of like movie scoring, but it was almost something that he kind of invented. And he was really inventing something new, which is a way to score for ideas. And it made an enormous difference.
And you know, your show is really known for that distinct and very complex editing style. And it seems like an incredible amount of work for a weekly show. How do you and Jad, other than what you just described, how do you and Jad sort of approach the final edit? Do you sit together in a room or how do you?
It's been one of the great, great blessings of the relationship is that whatever goes on in the beginning and whatever goes on in the middle, we do for some reason seem to agree on the end. That is, you never get it perfect, but if you're in a collaboration with somebody and you can't agree on when you're done, that's a problem. And we have almost for some reason from the beginning say together in pretty much the same moment, that's beautiful enough, which are the key three words. That's beautiful enough.
Now, I know you want to probably keep most of this under wraps, but can you give me any general sense of what we're going to be hearing about at Lilly on tomorrow night, I guess?
What I'm going to do is I'm going to describe what it's like to be a science reporter in television and in radio and how hard and crazy it is and the nutty things you have to do to get on the air and the experiments you try and how I've made discoveries by failing. I will run some really ridiculous things that I tried that didn't work and things that did, things that you can look at. So there'll be some TV to watch and there'll be things to hear. Be about an hour and 15 minutes. I expect it will be very fun for people. And it's mostly just tales of what it's like to look out the window or look out the submarine or look out the spacecraft or look through the binoculars or look through the in a lab and try to figure out, how do I explain this to myself and how do I show it to other people?
Right. Robert Krolwich, it's been a real pleasure. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.